Jackson, W266DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Stacy Lynn. The bodies of six hostages, including Israeli-American Hirsch Goldberg Poland, were recovered from a tunnel in Rafah overnight. Reporter Linda Gradstein is in Jerusalem.
The Hostages and Missing Families Forum demanded that Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu take responsibility for the abandonment of the hostages after six bodies were recovered from Gaza. The forum said the hostages' deaths are the direct result of Netanyahu's torpedoing of proposed hostage deals and his demand that Israel maintain a military presence on the border between Egypt and Gaza.
And Netanyahu says the fact that Hamas continues to commit atrocities like the ones it committed on October 7th obliges us to do everything so that it cannot commit those atrocities again. President Biden said he's devastated and outraged, adding, make no mistake, Hamas leaders will pay for these crimes. Health workers in Gaza have started an ambitious mass vaccination effort to stop the outbreak of polio after a baby contracted the first confirmed case in 25 years there. This is the boy's mother.
Abud wants to live and be treated. He wants to live and walk like other children. I feel a lot of guilt that he didn't get the vaccination, but I couldn't give it to him because of our circumstances.
There will be humanitarian pauses in fighting during the campaign, which is targeting 640,000 children under the age of 10. 49ers wide receiver Ricky Pearsall was shot yesterday during an attempted robbery in downtown San Francisco. Police Chief Bill Scott.
He was walking alone when a suspect approached him and attempted to commit an armed robbery using a gun. A struggle between Mr. Pearsall and the suspect ensued, and the gunfire from the suspect's gun struck both Mr. Pearsall and the subject.
Pearsall was shot in the chest. The suspect is in custody. You feel the need to light up while you gamble?
There is still smoking at Atlantic City casinos after a ruling from a New Jersey judge. But casino workers who have been battling for a smoke-free workplace say they will keep fighting. The ruling was a victory for the casino industry, which warns that thousands of jobs and millions in gambling revenue and taxes could be lost if smoking were banned. The industry has been struggling since the COVID pandemic, and most of the city's nine casinos are making less from in-person gamblers than they did before. Allison Keyes, CBS News.
Well, this Labor Day weekend, travel's up 9%, says AAA. Most people are out on the road with gas prices down. The national average is $3.35 a gallon, nearly 50 cents lower than last year. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Slaughterhouses are a big reason for so many toxic algae blooms in Wisconsin in recent years, but it's been 20 years since federal regulations were updated. Mike Moan reports.
In 2021, more than 100 people were sickened by toxic algae, mostly in freshwater. And the number of reported toxic algae outbreaks have increased each year from 2015 to 2023. John Rumpler with Environment America, the group behind the analysis, says that nitrogen, phosphorus, grease, bacteria, and other farm runoff is one of the driving causes.
These industrial-scale operations with hundreds of dairy cows or thousands of hogs, that volume of manure just all too often winds its way to rivers and lakes and streams.
The EPA says exposure to toxic algae can include skin rashes, headaches, vomiting, and pneumonia. Children and pets are especially vulnerable. In the new Census of Agriculture, data show the number of Wisconsin farms is declining, but farm sizes are growing, underscoring concerns about the expansion of industrial agriculture. Rumpler adds, in rural areas, slaughterhouses also are triggering blooms.
It turns out that slaughterhouses, the places where a lot of these animals are brought, also release a huge amount of nitrogen and or phosphorus into our waterways.
Federal regulations for slaughterhouses haven't been updated in 20 years and not since the mid-1970s for smaller facilities. Rumpler says it's encouraging the EPA is now considering new changes to its rules, largely in response to advocacy groups. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Tons of sunshine for your Sunday with north winds and highs in the middle 70s. Tonight, a few clouds will pass by. One or two of those may drop some sprinkles, otherwise down to near 60 degrees. Labor Day, sunny and lower 70s. Currently 62 degrees.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I'm in my new time slot from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. And we'll be doing my show from Madison, where joining me in studio will be award-winning filmmaker and record producer Wendy Schneider.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. This is the Shaw, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
You're listening to the best of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakunjahade, Distant Thunder. My colonized name is Robert Pilot. We discuss national and local Native American news and events. As we all know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up!
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, didn't cut a baby.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They are going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunjahade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events, and as you know, Chujunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by JS Bean Factory off Randolph Avenue in St. Paul. Only the good stuff keeps us awake.
Hey, we're about to have a big storm here in St. Paul, and our guest, Robert Lilligren, who's from the Native American Community Development Institute and a White Earth Ojibwe, may have to take over the show with Brad if the storm gets bad here. And we know Robert's an old pro, and he's many, many things, but he also went to the old school Brown Institute, which all the famous people went to back in the day, didn't they?
Oh, yeah. I didn't sign up to take over the show. The first wave of the storm already went by my house. It's pretty intense. Oh. I know there's another wave coming.
Oh, geez. Well, all these storms this year are really kind of really telling us what's happening with our weather, I think. And it's really been a pretty crazy year. And I always used to say, Robert, that the weather people were pretty accurate, but that hasn't been recently because of this humidity. Stuff's been popping up out of nowhere.
Well, and what we've done to our planet, right? And our climate, yep. It's so much less predictable. You can't really look at the past. In some ways, I feel like the more precise the technology gets, just the more range of potential experiences and events there might be. But these storms this last few days have been pretty powerful, pretty destructive. We've lucked out here in Knockwood at our house, but all around us, trees down, buildings damaged. Yeah,
we went to the fair, my daughter and I, my Hinu, Jaleesa, and our booth at the fair was saved pretty well. I think things were knocked over a little bit, but there was some serious damage out there and damage on the way there and on the way to the fair. So it really made us take pause. And now today, too.
Yep. And for those who aren't from Minnesota, the Minnesota State Fair is huge. It's a huge event, well attended. And this week, for the first time, they actually postponed the opening of the fair because they had to do storm cleanup. And it's never been postponed before. And it's whatever, I suppose, more than a century history. And so So this is what's happening to our climate, and this is how we're needing to adapt. And, you know, Minnesota overall is getting hotter and wetter with our climate. And so what does that mean to us as people, especially those of us, and to our, to how we treat the land, how we manage our infrastructure? It's going to be change, and it's going to be costly.
You know, the last three years, we had a drought, and there was wild rice, I heard, being, was growing again like it hadn't in 100 years in the Twin Cities. It was just crazy. And then all of a sudden this year we have all this rain, and we don't have a drought. And then back up the winter, we had no snow. And then the year before, we had probably the third largest snowfall in history.
Right. And it's ricing season here, as we know, and a lot of our relatives are up ricing right now. And just the preliminary stuff I've heard is that even with all the water we've had, and maybe we've had too much, but it's not that abundant of a ricing season. And then the storms have brought a lot of wind that knocks out the grains. And so we'll see. Fingers crossed. You always want abundance in the ricing season.
Yeah, and our friends up north, Robert, maybe you can talk a little bit about this, but I know rice and fish is really sustains the economy for a lot of our relatives up there over the years. And I know so right now, too.
Right. Oh, for sure. For sure. And then, you know, it's just, it's such a whatever. What am I trying to say? A cultural thing, right? We need our rice. And so so we'll see how it goes. And then it's having impact on other crops, right? And they just stepped into the chat about corn sweat, right? Is that what it is?
Yeah, that was the first I had heard of it. A lot of people that talking
fungus,
about corn sweat.
Right?
Yeah, I guess, you know, the sweat off the corn that we grow here, you know, just tons of corn here in Minnesota. Right. But I guess it gives off sweat and makes, you know, the moisture in the air a lot higher.
Oh, I see. I see. I think, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
I just learned that.
Very interesting.
I just learned that just right
We're
now.
We're all together.
Yes, we are. But I don't know if that affects, like, the storms or, you know, creates higher energy for the storms. I don't know.
Sure. Wow. I'm sure it raises the heat level here. And we're in a very agricultural part of the country, right? And the impact that climate change is having on our ability to grow. We have lots of corporate sort of farming that has done a lot of negative things to our land and our water, for that matter. And so how do we relearn how we grow food? How to, I believe that the best solutions are local, right? Localized production, localized distribution, like the old days. The farms, the gardens in our yards and things. And so I suspect that we'll see a return to some of the older ways of farming and the traditional ways of farming.
Well, and your organization has a garden, and that's you're putting your money where your mouth is, so to speak, because people are learning. You can have an inner city garden and eat from it and things like that. Robert, you're roughly the same age as me, and I remember.
I look so much younger.
And taller. I look younger on radio. We used to only get certain foods during a certain part of the year, and now it's like we get everything all the time. We're so spoiled from either all over the country or these. You mentioned corporate farms, and I really can't stand the corporate farms where they have thousands of cows and pooping all over the place and all that.
Right. Thanks for the shout out to our urban farm, our Four Sisters Urban Farm. It produces today at our Four Sisters Farmers Market. I bought all of my produce from our urban farm stand, and very local, just grown just a few blocks from where it's sold, right? So that helps. And, you know, my dad was an agricultural broadcaster on the radio for a big chunk of his career. And so he knew a thing or two about agriculture. And I remember back in the 1970s, even, you know, when I was a kid, And he would talk to me about the direction that farming was taking in this country. And my dad said, the reason we can enjoy such a high quality of life in this country is because our food production is local and very cheap. And he said, but that's changing. And these corporate farms will take over and gobble up all the land, and then they will be setting prices, availability. And he said, and our standard of living will change because of that. That was 50 years ago, you know, and it turns out he was right. He knew what he was talking about, you know, and what he was seeing in the future back then is what's happening now.
Yeah, it's being a old kid that my dad listened to that station every day, it's always really fun to bring up your dad because it's a great childhood memory for me to listen to WCCO, The Good Neighbor, and your dad, Chuck Lilligren. I'll never forget that. Thanks. So it's fun that you're on. And it's fun you're on our show, too. So it's like a legacy thing. It's really, it warms my heart, too. All right. Hey, we're here with Robert Lilligren, and we'll be right back after this short break.
Oh, stay with us.
Yes.
The Shaw, W-A-U-K, Waukesha's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
I know I'm ready to start my opioids recovery journey because I've got courage, support, and meds. Yeah, meds. See, opioid use disorder is a chronic health condition, kind of like heart disease or diabetes. And now, there are effective meds out there that work to curb the cravings. And, when combined with therapy, help me manage my health. I found out that opioid recovery is possible with courage, support, and meds. Learn how medications can help you, too, at doseofrealitywi.gov.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones. Check 511WI.gov or download the app for road work or closures on your route. Know before you go with 511 Wisconsin, sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matt and Air on Air with Jane Matt and Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Shaw, 101.1 FM and 540 AM WAUK, and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to the Shaw, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis.
Hey, we are back here with our friend, Robert Lilligren, and Robert is the president and CEO of Native American Community Development Institute here in the Twin Cities in Minnesota. We are so happy to have you on. And Robert, I want to switch gears a little bit and talk a little bit about the national election. And I heard something from one of our guests a couple days ago, which I thought was really interesting. That we're really doing well. I think we're really doing well around the country, but we can't rest on our laurels because I believe what she said was that Hillary was this far ahead at this time in 2016. So that made me a really kind of shocked a little bit and remember that trauma.
Agree. It was trauma, and there is encouraging news, but you're 100% right, Robert. We cannot rest. Elections are not magical. They are hard work, and they take every one of us contributing what we can. And that might be a few bucks here. It certainly will be a few hours on campaigns and helping out at all levels to turn out voters. But there are encouraging things, and I would say one thing that's different between this from this year but in 2016 is the sense of momentum, of hope, of joy. And I feel like in 2016, some of that was lacking. And I think that the momentum, the hope, the joy can motivate people to get out there and do our part, right, to see what happens. And, you know, I thought when Harris stepped in as the Democratic nominee, she had the potential to really lift up down ballot races, impact certainly the majorities in D.C. in the Senate and in the House, but even locally. And it feels like that's happening. And a lot of the polling data shows that, but it didn't feel that way in 2016. So that's a little bit different. And I look, even you look at some of those, kind of bellwether races, like the Senate, mm-hmm. the U.S. Senate race in Arizona, with the Republican challenger is now down in the double digits in polling. And so that's encouraging. And I think we'll see more of that. And then as you look at Harris's numbers, if you look into them, she is now up 13% within two important groups, both women and Hispanic voters nationally.
Yes.
So that's where you start growing those real majorities.
Yeah, and of course, the Gen Zers and the first time voting, how many people, there was an unbelievable amount of people that registered to vote after the vice president got in. That's a big sign, too.
Right, that's a huge sign, and I'm going to make this number up, so please don't quote me on it. But I think voter registration is up something like 175% amongst black women nationally. These are generating margins of victory.
Yeah, and I did hear that too just a few days ago. And then also I heard a number too, and maybe Haley, you can correct me if I'm wrong, or Robert, and that's what's exciting is after the VP became the candidate for president, there was 45,000 people that signed up to help with the Democratic Party in Wisconsin. Do you remember that number?
I don't know the number. Haley, do you know it?
I don't know directly out of Wisconsin, but it seems like quite a bit.
Well, I was on another show a couple days ago out of Wisconsin, and that's what they said. And I was like, wow, that's an unbelievable number.
Right. That's the excitement factor, right? That we really, really need, not just as a presidential campaign. We need it as a country, right?
Right.
Something to be excited about, something to be hopeful about. And I think that's going to have direct impact on a lot of races. And now there's these bubbles being floated that there's a strong possibility of retaking the House of Representatives in D.C., of broadening the majority in the Senate, and that'll mean a different kind of governing that we've had here in Minnesota, right, for the last 4 years with our trifecta, our House, our Senate, and our governor's office all being in Democratic hands. It's made a difference.
Oh, a huge difference, and I can see that. And it would be fun, too, to be able to push, once they get elected, push them more progressive, and also talk about the Supreme Court. All these things that Biden's starting to talk or was starting to talk about, you know, term limits, but also broadening out to 13 to match the number of the districts for the Supreme Court? It's something like that.
Appeals court districts or I'm
yeah,
not sure.
To match the number and it made sense. But just the sky's the limit if we can get the trifecta nationally.
Agree. And I suspect a Harris administration in first term is going to be an extension of a lot of what President Biden has been trying to move forward, but hopefully we'll have the political wherewithal to pass some of that. And you described them as progressive kinds of issues or initiatives. And I would suggest these are pretty mainstream. I mean, a lot of what you brought up is broadly supported by a majority of Americans.
Yes.
So it's not really this kind of, we're so progressive. It's really a mainstream agenda.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I saw that percentages on that filmmaker's website of that basically he had a list of everything. What was his, Michael Moore had this unbelievable list. And 70% of the people are liberal in this country, basically, is what it said.
Right. Or what we would call liberal today, right?
Yeah.
It might not have been liberal 25 years ago, but because the political temperature has moved so far to the right, you know, since Reagan, it feels more liberal. But again, it's really mainstream.
Right. It is. It really is. And common sense. things are common sense. And even like what Wall says, mind your own business. I think we got
mind your own damn business.
Yeah, don't swear on my show, Robert. No, I'm
kidding. That's pretty lightweight. I could do worse. I could do worse.
I think I have done worse here. I think
love that. I think that's going to be lifted up. I'm really looking forward to the Harris Walls interview on CNN tonight.
Yes.
I think we'll hear the things. I would be very surprised if Walls doesn't say at some point, mind your own damn business.
Yeah. I shouldn't be, but I am so surprised and happy that Walls is on this ticket. It really shocked me. And then as it sunk in and then the people got to know him and he, that's what we see is a really smart man that can speak to the crowds and any crowd and right. off the top of his head. I know he's using a teleprompter now, but that was really funny when he told the Harris people that I don't know how to use a teleprompter. I never do. And I've never seen him use one.
Have you ever used one? Have you ever used a teleprompter?
Yeah, I used to teach video production,
I love them. I've only used them a couple of times, but I love them. But most of his stuff is, sort of off the cuff, ad lib. And one of the amazing things about him as a candidate and as a governor is he just doesn't flub. He doesn't flub a lot, He knows what he wants to say, and he says it eloquently and clearly. And I know you and a lot of others were surprised. I think I've shared this with you, that he became the vice presidential nominee. But literally the moment that I learned that President Biden was stepping aside, Vice President Harris was stepping in, I said to the people I was with that same second, Governor Walls will be the vice presidential nominee. And everyone was like, oh, no, he won't. He's, not on high enough profile, or he's from a blue state that only has 10 electoral votes. And I kept saying, nope, he'll be the nominee. And as the list got shorter and shorter, and he was very often left off, the short list. And then I kept saying, he'll be the nominee. And sure enough, he's a nominee and he's so relatable, right? And I think there is a rationality, is that a word, of seeing Harris and with Walt standing behind her that I think will draw a lot of voters and draw a lot of undecideds.
Absolutely. And I heard, and again, I'm spitballing numbers. Somebody can fact check my show later, but there's a large number of a former, the former president's workers that support just a couple days ago. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Were they presidents, Haley? Do you remember? Or were they all presidents? But there was like 500 presidential candidates. So I think John McCain's first step, and there's like
right,
Republicans that have come out to support Harris, and that says something, right?
Yeah, and I got to say this too, Robert. I'm not mainstream, but the mainstream media has got to get on the ball and really start talking about the great things that Biden and Harris have done. We were joking around with just being progressive. I believe Biden's been more progressive than probably since Johnson or even FDR for that matter.
I think you're right. And we'll see. That's why I'm really interested in the CNN interview tonight. We'll see what they lift up. I mean, Walz has a strong progressive record of passing legislation, but Harris as vice president broke ties in the Senate, right? And so she can legitimately be credited with passing some landmark legislation. So I think we'll see some of what they're going to pick up out of that record tonight as well.
Can you stay on another segment? This is super fun.
Oh, sure. Yep.
Right on. All right. Hey, Robert, sorry to surprise you like that, but we're having too much fun here. All right. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we're with Robert Lilligren and Haley Cherry. We'll be right back after this short break.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for Up North News Radio.
CBS News Brief. A devastating discovery overnight in a tunnel in Rafah. Reporter Linda Gradstein on the recovery of several hostage bodies.
Israeli Army spokesman Daniel Hagari says the bodies of the six, including American citizen Hirsch Goldberg Polan, were brutally murdered by Hamas shortly before Israeli soldiers arrived. At least three of those killed were supposed to be released in the first stage of a ceasefire deal with Hamas.
A mass polio vaccination program in the Gaza Strip started today, aiming to get 640,000 kids under the age of 10 vaccinated.
We need to reach at least 90%. Without that, there is a risk the transmission could continue.
San Francisco 49ers wide receiver Ricky Pearsall was the victim of an attempted robbery and shooting.
San Francisco police officers assigned to the Union Square detail responded almost immediately and arrested the subject as he tried to run away from the crime scene.
CBS News Brief. I'm Stacy Lynn.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
The Brewers win again in Oakland. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers took the lead in game two, then added some insurance runs late on the way to a 9-5 victory over the A's. Milwaukee's Jake Bowers had a home run, also scored three more times in the game. Brewers manager Pat Murphy on those extra runs in the eighth and ninth.
Really important. Tacking on is however you want to term it, staying after it, being relentless, pecking away, however you want to term it. It's the key to a major league game because it's hard to win a major league game and there's really good players on both sides.
NFL, the Packers have the next 3 days off after beating the Ravens yesterday 30-7 in front of 72,000 fans at Lambeau Field. Matt LaFleur on Packers linebacker Christian Welch, who grew up in Iola, Wisconsin.
He's just a smart, tough, physical player. I thought that interception that he had was an outstanding play. It looked like, to me, he baited the quarterback right there as a hook player and just made a great break on the ball and made the play. And then he had a heck of a return.
That's Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Tons of sunshine for your Sunday with north winds and highs in the middle 70s. Tonight, a few clouds will pass by. One or two of those may drop some sprinkles, otherwise down to near 60 degrees. Labor Day, sunny and lower 70s. Currently 62 degrees.
When you think about Labor Day and what it means, do you think about Wisconsin? You should, but let's go back to explain. In the mid-1800s, activists pushed for a day to recognize workers' contributions. President Grover Cleveland signed a law in 1894 making the first Monday of every September a national holiday. So where did the first labor union form in Wisconsin? Wausau? Green Bay? Milwaukee? The answer coming up. The Badger State has an impressive history. Bricklayers and carpenters formed unions in the 1840s and were the first to push for workers' compensation and unemployment insurance. Now, did you guess? This all happened first in Milwaukee. The state's labor unions formed in 1847. The National Labor Union didn't form until 1866, 19 years later. Leading the way for other states is this slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Max Inc. on Civic Media, live in the lair with Kaylin Cole.
Have you ever walked away from a karaoke performance thinking, yeah, that was a lot better than the original person?
Oh my gosh, I don't know if I should admit that or not.
I think you should. Because now we know there's a song.
Jimmy's talking on it now.
I know. Oh, you're going to get me in trouble, Jimmy.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at maxincradio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Matt and Air on Air.
You know, Greg Bach, I think it is time I need a little time away.
Jane, are you going on vacation?
Yes, I am going on vacation. I feel confident you're going to do a great job. You got Calvin.
Wait, I'm hosting?
Yes, dear, you're going to be hosting.
I thought you were taking me with you. Okay, I guess I will host the show in your stead. Thank you very much.
I trust you.
Matt and Air on Air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time for a special Labor Day edition of the show. We'll look back at Wisconsin history and Labor Day. Be with us then.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
This is Leonard Peltier. I am in Coleman 1. U.S. Penitentiary, and I'm listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Hey, we are here with our friend Robert Lilligren, and Robert is the president and CEO of Native American Community Development Institute here in the Twin Cities, Minnesota. We are so happy to have you on. I want to switch gears a little bit and we can get back to a little politics talking, but just talk about what's happening at the Avenue. Today you had the market and we got things going on in the gallery. Let's talk a little bit about that if you don't mind, Robert.
I appreciate it. I appreciate the time to talk about what we're doing at Native American Community Development Institute, NACD, on the American Indian Cultural Corridor in Minneapolis. Today was our Four Sisters Farmers Market Day. It's one of our big food access and food sovereignty initiatives. It was a great market day, even without you two being there. I didn't see there, but it was really full, crowded. We had this great DJ, a Native guy who spins sort of vintage Native recordings, more pop music, but
very vintage Justice. Recording.
Yeah, that's a Justice. And that was great. It's a little windy toward the end. We shut it down an hour early because of the weather, the incoming weather, but it was a great day. And that complements our Four Sisters Urban Farm, which is very nearby there. And that's just going gangbusters, not just with creating produce, but we're implementing our first medicine garden. The garden, the farm expands a little every year. So next is the medicine garden. Looking forward to that. At the gallery, you just had the nice promo with Jay White. They're amazing. I don't know if you've met her or talked with her. Very straight shooting, straight talking artist.
Haley has.
Yeah. Oh, cool. Lovely time with her.
I know. Within seconds of meeting her, she said something very inappropriate to me, but very funny, and really connected us. So we have a great event coming up, which is a live, it's sort of her artist talk, but she does live painting, and that's kind of her thing. And so that's September 14th at our gallery, 2 to 4 p.m., and that's at 1414 East Franklin on the American Indian Cultural Corridor. Strongly encourage people to do that. And then our other big kind of area of projects and programs is in civic engagement, and especially voter engagement, voter registration, voter outreach through our Make Voting a Tradition project. And this year that they are just off and running, working statewide, growing the pool of Native voters, and then tracking that progress to show. We're part of a 5-state partnership this year where Native votes are enough to swing an election, right? Yeah. So we have to make sure to get every Native voter there. And that's just going gangbusters. We have candidate forums scheduled and things, and just a lot happening. And just so folks know kind of the NACD model, we stay grounded, authentically grounded in community through these areas, arts and culture, civic engagement, food sovereignty. And then we work to change systems, right? We engage with policy, with boardrooms, with non-Native institutions to better educate them about what's going on in the Native community. And so it's very satisfying work for me.
Well, you do other work too, and I've had the opportunity to kind of follow what you're doing and also be a part of what you're doing. And some of the work that you do for the Met Council is amazing, and you've brought, how do you say, join the tribe or bring the tribe along? There's a lot of Natives now, because of your work, that are plugged into what's happening in the Met Council, which, you know, there's so many things that they do. I was blown away, and I thought I knew what they did.
Right. So it's our 7-county metropolitan government. I serve as a district rep, and I represent the big chunk of the of almost all of South Minneapolis, so the Native community. A lot of the Native community in Minneapolis. Met Council is one of the most robust regional governments in the country, probably one of the most two robust. And over the last few years, and I appreciate your involvement in this, or the last 6 months even, we've really centered Native voices in our planning through an advisory council that's about to produce your final report and recommendations to the full Met Council. And I love this so much. The Met Council itself is doing a remote meeting on the American Indian Culture Corridor at the newly redesigned Minneapolis American Indian Center. And that's not a common thing for us to go meet in community. So I look forward to the presentation. I'm thrilled that this is happening, and maybe generate some Native attendance there as well. So the council can see our people and know that we're interested in being partners.
Well, and again, I have to applaud you. I know we've joked over the years how many committees you are on, but it's really breaking the glass ceiling, so to speak, and reminding people that we're still here. And your voice is so important and has opened that Met Council door to amazing things and amazing education and opportunities that I never thought that would be, I would be a part of, but that any Native would be a part of. So really big kudos to you, Robert.
Very kind. You know, it's community effort. We used to joke about my 17 titles, right? Which one are you going to use today? But, you know, as the first tribal citizen on the Minneapolis City Council, the first tribal citizen on Met Council, I have these other sort of civic firsts. And it's important to me not to promote myself, but there can't be a second, right, until there's a first. Yeah. There can't be a fifth or a hundredth until there's a first. I mean, look at our lieutenant governor. What kind of door she's opening as a Native woman. And with this Met Council work, I'll tell you, Robert and Haley, it's different. And so halfway through the Native Advisory Committee's work, they came and presented to the committee I chair at Met Council, which is concerned with the planning part, and amongst other things. And you know, I had all my lists of arguments to sort of promote and lift up, you know, the Native perspective and the Native direction. And as the information and the work of the work group was presented, my colleagues on the council started making my arguments, and I could kind of check them off one by one. The stuff that I've always been the only one in the room that had said it before. And so it's a different day. That's my point. I think there's an acknowledgement of the importance of centering Native voices, of engaging them. And I remember at this committee meeting, I was almost crying. And I said, you guys have to realize I'm accustomed to being the only person in the room saying these things. So be good.
Yeah, that's huge. And that brings me back kind of to what we've been talking about, especially with this election and how important it is that I've matured over the years, Robert, that I think I was more of a one issue voter. Right. And I've really matured over the years that we have to look at the big picture and how much progress we have. There's a lot to go, don't get me wrong, but how much we have in the last 10 years.
Right. And it's the generations coming up. I mean, look at Haley here, you know, as we've talked about before, young Native people overall, young Native leadership that's emerging are so much more grounded in their cultures, their languages, their histories, their traditional spirituality. And you can see the impact that's happening. And so really at this point in my life, it's trying to figure out how do we pass this on. It's your turn, you know. We destroyed the world in my generation. Sorry. You know, we need you to come and help us heal.
Well, and it's been a slow, gradual a positivity towards whether it's history, whether it's book. I mean, we've sold so many at the State Fair, Banished Forever, the removal of Ho-Chunk from Minnesota. And people just don't know the story, but are learning and want to learn, all our white allies out there that listen to this show, too, all over civic media and the Twin Cities. We're just so grateful. Because I'm a conduit to really good guests like you that are experienced in the way it was, the way it's happening, and the way it's going to be.
Well, that's so kind. Thanks for the kind words. Thanks for your work, the two of you. I can't wait to see you out at the fair. I'm going tomorrow. And
I'm going out too.
Yeah. You'll what be are you out there, Haley?
Yeah, we all will be, I think.
Yeah, I won't be working, though, because I'm still tired from the DNC, and I had to work 5 days at the fair for my kids because my daughter just had a baby.
At your age, Robert, you need to get your rest.
Yeah.
Sure do. We don't even want to talk about when it was 100 degrees and what I accidentally called Haley.
I can't go out there. I was sorry to miss Indigenous Peoples Day out at the State Fair. It looks great from everything I saw on the socials, but I cannot be out in that kind of heat.
I know. Isn't that sad? I used to love this stuff and lay in the beach and fry and go swimming, and now it's like, I got to go home and turn the air conditioning on.
Yeah, I used to love to sit and get hot and sweat. And now I can't spend that much time outside. But these are exciting times, and the generational shift that's happening within Indian country, it's so gratifying to see. And then, of course, here, you know, we had so many of our founders, AIM founders, and other people who established cultural cornerstones here, and we're losing them. You know, it's that time, it's that season. And so people like you and me are kind of a bridge, right?
Yeah.
But I just wonder what they would think if they saw some of the young people coming up the way they are.
Well, and then just to we only got a couple of minutes left, but we talk about in our lifetime, I'm being 63 years old, and that we were able to practice our own religion, and we were both like juniors in high school, and how amazing that is. And so there was a lot of, you know, a couple generations of natives that had to acclimate to survive and do a lot of other things to survive. And now we have a newer generation are coming up and are taking what they deserve and what's theirs.
Right. And that's, I agree. And the interesting thing, you know, is that genocide and then forced assimilation worked, right? And so Native people almost disappeared, right?
Yeah.
But they didn't. And the growth we've seen, not just in numbers, the population is, the Indian community is a growing population in this country, a contemporary population. And I think as we try to figure our way out of a lot of the problems in our world, in our country, it's Indigenous ways that are gonna really be our solutions.
Wow, great way to end it. Thank you so much, Robert. It's always fun and inspiring to have you on the show, really.
Miigwech.
Right on. Hey, up next, this is Native Roots Radio. Up next, we have Robert Blake, Solar Bear, with the solar news. Ho-wa. We'll be right back.
The Shaw, WAUK.
Most of us can agree everyone deserves the right to make their own medical decisions. Politicians should have no say at all. Thankfully, we have leaders like Vice President Kamala Harris who are standing up for our rights to make our own medical decisions and protect abortion rights. As Vice President, Kamala Harris helped lead the administration's efforts to protect abortion rights after the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. Vice President Harris has worked to defend access to emergency medical care and support the ability to travel for reproductive care. She's fought for access to high-quality, affordable contraception and strengthened reproductive health privacy. Vice President Harris has defended our rights and freedoms against right-wing extremists who want the government to make medical decisions for us. She's a champion for our rights.
Visit www.abwt.org/Kamala and tell Vice President Harris, keep fighting for our freedom to make our own medical decisions. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Aneen, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations. How?
Oh!
Hey, right on. Hey, Bob, are you out in the storm there? What the heck?
I'm caught in the storm, Robert. I am caught in the storm. It's coming down. It is coming down out here.
You know my native name, right? My native name is Wakunjahade, which means distant thunder. So we like the storm here, just to keep the show going, right?
Yeah, absolutely, man. Hey, distant thunder. I didn't know that. That's so cool, Robert.
Hey, thanks. I want to mention a couple things before you give us our Solar Bear report. And one of the things, I don't know if you've seen on my Facebook, but I was driving down the street heading home from the fair, and there was a car that was a Tesla. And I was like, At first, I didn't know what it was because I looked at it and it had the same font, right? And it said Kamala on there instead of Tesla with the same font and the same letters on the back of the car. I thought that was awesome. It was crazy. It was like on Summit Avenue.
Yeah, and you know that Elon Musk has been catching a lot of flack for the comments he's been making, you know, and his like support of Trump. I mean, I don't know. I feel like he's going off the deep end or something, Robert.
Yeah. Well, also, what was really ironic about that day, Robert, was that I posted a thing that said spotted on a Tesla earlier that day. And it says it was like kind of a sticker on the window and said, I bought this before we knew Elon was crazy. So give those guys that have Teslas a break, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, and that really brings up a really good segue, Robert, into electric vehicles. They're saying, Robert, that in a couple of years that we're going to have the same amount of charging stations, you know, around the country as like, you know, gas stations. So, you know, we're still lagging behind. But the point being there is that, you know, the easier we make it for everybody to be able to charge their vehicle, the quicker adoption we'll have of electric vehicles. So that's really what I think this administration has been really trying to focus in on. And I hopefully, you know, we get Kamala to, you know, fingers crossed here. I'm feeling pretty confident about it, Robert. But if we get that particular, you know, administration in, I can only see that this will go, you know, very successful with this outlay of all these charging stations.
Yeah, definitely. And let me just put it this way. Joe Biden's probably the most progressive president we've ever had, and probably since FDR and Johnson with the New Deal and all that. And I hope our Vice President Harris will pick that up. And I know Governor Walz has been behind a lot of our progressiveness here in the state.
Yeah, and I mean, and I think like the big thing, Robert, is just like, you know, I mean, climate change is real. I mean, it's just happening. And cheap energy, you know, is good for democracy, is good for the planet. And it's really what drives world leadership, you know, and we've known that because in this country, we've always had cheap energy, right? And so we know that that drives industry, that drives businesses, that drives, you know, economies. So, you know, I really feel like, you know, if we have, you know, if we focus in on cheap energy and you really see the states that are doing that, those are the economies that are going to be doing really well in the future. And China is doing this. Germany has done that, and look at their economy. So, I mean, when you think about it that way, I mean, that's why I really believe that focusing in on charging stations, electric vehicles, renewable energy, it's really going to happen. And specifically, Robert, too, tribal nations need to start making this switch too, and this adjustment. One of the folks that I work with is doing a big project on one of these army bases, and was kind of giving me some insight onto what they're doing, you know, talking to me about stuff. And he, you know, it was really interesting because I was thinking to myself, wow, man, you know, they're really preparing these army bases for, you know, for climate change. And I just think about how our cities and our towns really need to be focused on that also, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good point. And I think it is, and the government like has really helped out with that, and with a lot of grants and things like that are still popping up there, and so it's exciting to be doing this. It's exciting. It's really exciting, and we talk about, Bob, you've been on the show for 8 years working on this, and just how much growth the industry has happened, and the things that you've been working on, and and the awards you're getting.
I can't believe, Robert, that it's been that long, and I've been screaming from the top of the mountain on this stuff forever, and it's actually coming true. It's ridiculous. We were just talking about this the other day. I was out of town, and I was just like, wow, I can't believe that this dream or this vision that I had is actually happening, and it's becoming reality. And it's amazing to see how everything is progressing. Like I said, we still have a lot of work to do. We still have a lot more to get done. But I mean, it's really exciting, Robert, just to see kids, to see, you know, people that are looking into doing this for a career. The jobs that have grown in the renewable energy industry is remarkable. You know, Joe Biden, the Biden administration is going to, September 5th, they're going to southwestern Wisconsin to talk about the Inflation Reduction Act and the jobs that have been created by this, you know, historic legislation, Robert. So that's happening next week, so on September 5th. You know, he's going to southwestern Wisconsin. So I think that's just incredible, all the jobs and all the opportunities that are coming from all this. And we just got to get out and vote too, Robert, in November. Yeah. Like, everybody's got to get out. Like, we can't pretend we got this.
Right.
We've been bamboozled before. It's just so important that you talk to 10 of your family members. I'm now on a PAC. I'm on a board member on a political action committee. And I do this on my free time, everyone. Bob Blake, just regular citizen guy. Want to make that clear. It's those kinds of things, Robert. You always say on this, join, like, run for office, like, start a company, start a nonprofit, like,
yeah,
all those things. Like, it's so true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you've been leading the way, and it's funny watching this and experiencing it, both the trajectory of Solar Bear and also Native Roots Radio. And then we went down to DNC and learned and met all those other Indians that are doing great work around the country. And yeah, and you gave out a T-shirt to Amy Klobuchar. I'll never forget that.
And Robert, I just want to say too, like, honestly, like, what you're doing with this radio show, I mean, you are just giving a voice to, like, so many folks. Air the American Indian, that thing. That, I mean, you know what I mean? Because we just started this thing, like, Native Roots Radio, I'm Awake, you know, and the Solar Bear with the Solar News, and all these people are coming on now, and it's so cool to see their little segments and everything, Robert. So, miigwech, Robert, you're the best.
Hey, you are too. Thank you so much for what you do for our people and the community. Really great having you on every week, Robert. That's Bob Blake with the Solar Bear with the Solar News, and he's signing off. Hey, if you're listening to the show, you're part of the resistance from Chief Plentycoops. The ground on which we stand on is sacred ground. It is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office, and vote, vote, vote. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
And free Leonard Peltier now.
This is the Shaw, WAUK. Pat Kreitlow.
We'll be back live at 6 a.m. Tuesday. On Monday, catch our recent climate check segment on protecting our freedom to have clean air and water.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
It's 2024 and Worthington, Minnesota continues to shine. We've expanded so many things. It's a time of growth. We've expanded recreation activities with our indoor ice arena, our indoor turf rec center and playground, and our outdoor water park, Water World, is ready for another season. Our schools have expanded, and so has our industry. We're continuing to expand our population also, with lots ready to build on Glenwood Heights. So let's grow together in Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Israel says it has recovered the bodies of six hostages in Gaza. The discovery comes as delicate ceasefire negotiations continue. President Biden told reporters,
people are continuing to meet, and we think we can close the deal. They've all said they agree on the principles.
CBS's Bradley Blackburn with the prime minister's response.
Overnight, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said in a statement, whoever murders hostages doesn't want a deal.
Health officials in Gaza are trying to give 640,000